All right, we're in business. Okay, we're on Daf Samachay today. I'll begin from the two dots, around 10 lines down on Samachay. 65A, around 10 lines down in the Gemara. So we were talking about, you know, being drunk and having too much wine. So Amr B'Chanina, Kolomefik, Magain, Bishat Gaiba, Sogrim Chotmin, Sarab Bado. So B'Chanina says, whoever is Mefik Magain, he's like, he lets it pass by. In other words, it's a little bit like an enigmatic, you know, statement in pasuk. A mafik magain, he's bypassing the prayer. He calls the prayer magain. Magain is either for the bracha of magain avot, which is the first one of the brachot. And I saw in the Masifta they said that, you know, that's the bracha you need kavana for, or the other pshat, and I think it was from the Meiri, is that tefillah itself could be called magain, because tefillah, you know, protects us. So kol ha-mefik, mefik we take it is the person is bypassing, and lets it pass by. So kol ha-mefik magain b'shat gaiva. If he lets tefillah pass by, means he doesn't daven b'shat gaiva, time of arrogance, it means when he's drunk wine. In other words, he's intoxicated. So kol ha-mefik magain lets it pass b'shat gaiva, Sogrim v'chotmin sarah bado, like we seal off his saras, and it was, it doesn't impact on him. Shinemar, and here the Gemara quotes this pasuk in Eov in the book of Job, gava afike maginim. The way he interprets it is gava, like when you're intoxicated, afike maginim, you're letting like the magain pass by. In other words, it's feel the pass by sagur chotam tsar, that the suras are sealed off from him. So the Gemara says, "My mashma dahi apik lishna davurehu." How did you figure out that afike means like bypassing? Dichtiv achai bagdu. This is my. This is a, another pasuk in Eov. My brethren like acted treasonously to me. Kmo nachol kaafik nichalim yavoru. Like a river. Like the bypass that bypasses the river that passes by. So one shot that I saw is like the river passes by and it doesn't give you the water in the fields, and it was just washes by, so they weren't in any way helpful to me. And then another shot that I saw, this was in the Art Scroll, they wanted to say that like the river, it dries up in the summer. So it's like they left me high and dry. They didn't do it for me. But the point is that the word afik or afike is bypassing, like the river. Okay, so the first piece in the Gemara is saying that you know, when you drink, you shouldn't daven, that we got. And if you do drink, so if you let it pass by, you let the tefillah pass by, then you get the reward. That's the idea. In other words, let the tefillah, if you're drunk, let the tefillah pass by, don't do the tefillah. Now, that statement was from Rabbi Chanina. Now the Gemara quotes a statement from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan also agrees, when you're drunk, you shouldn't daven. But Rabbi Yochanan understands the pasuk differently, and we'll see in Nafkamina Lahalacha on the two ways to understand the pasukim. So the first one was bypassing. It's like, let it pass by. Let the tefillah pass by. The second way is, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, kol sheinu mefik itmar. He says that anyone who does not express, he doesn't say his tefillah when he's intoxicated, his troubles will be sealed off. He says, "Kol shenu mefik itmar, my mashma da mefik lishen to yiluyehu." Where do you see that mefik is like to express it, you know, to expose it? Dichti vayirau afike mayim vayigulu mosto tevel. This pasuk is in Tehillim, talking about at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf. By Yirau Afike Mayim, that the channels of the water were exposed, by Yigalu Mosto Tevel, and the foundations of the world were exposed. So the second way understands the Pasuk, let's go back. So six lines earlier, we have this sort of enigmatic Pasuk, Gava Afike Magirim Sagura Chotam Tsar. So the first way was Gava Afike maginim. Gava means you're drunk. You're it means arrogant, but gava, you're drunk. Afike maginim. You let the maginim, which is the tefillah, pass by. You're not gonna daven. Then, and under those circumstances, sagur chotam tsar. It's like closed and sealed off the tsaris. That's the first way. That's the way Rabbi Chanina understands the pasuk. Then the second way that Rabbi Yochanan understands the pasuk and this is the way the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz says it, gava is still drunkenness, afike maginim sagur. In other words, that in terms of expressing the tefillah is sagur. You see, you're not expressing it. So sagur is not part of the promise, it's part of the statement. It's like sagur, you're not expressing it. You're not expressing the tefillah. Then, and under those circumstances, chotam tsar. The tsaras are sealed off. Okay? So they both say you shouldn't daven when you're drunk. But now, so the Gemara says, michti, kray mashma bin lamar bin lamar. So the psukim are mashma either way. So they both have pshatim, and both pshatim seem to be, significantly, similar one to another. He says, my bina, what's the nafkamina, whether I learn the psukim the way that Reb Chanina learned it, or I learned it the way that Reb Yochanan learned it. So the nafkamina will be for the conduct that Rav Sheshet did. He says, the Rav Sheshet maser sheinate l'shame. Rav Sheshet, when he would have drink, he would give his sheina over to his attendant. He would tell the attendant, like, let's say, I don't know, maybe, like, wake me up, in 3 hours to daven mincha, whatever the situation would be. So he says, mar idlei d'Rav Sheshet. So the second opinion, which was Reb Yochanan, he says, mafik means that when you're drunk, so then you shouldn't daven, so that he's not drunk and the tenant is waking him up. Umar lately the Rav Sheshet. The first opinion, let it pass by. The way the Gemara understands it, I have to let it naturally unwind by itself. In other words, I can't, expedite things. I should have to wait till I sleep off the wine. I have to get up on my own, according to the first version. That's the way the Gemara takes it. Let's take a look at the Rashi on this that we have. He says, if you look, it's around the 8th hour line of Rashi, Master Shena Te L'Shame, he gave his sleep over to his attendant, Amar Lo Hanichin Lishon Ma'ad. He says, let me sleep a little bit. Let's say it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon. He says, look, do me a favor, wake me up at 5 o'clock. They're going to have a minion for Mincha. So he says, U'shigiz Man Tefila Hakitzeni. When it's time to daven, wake me up. So Reb Chanina da Amar Avurei Bai lately the Rav Sheshet. Reb Chanina, the first opinion, says that when you're drunk, I have to let it pass, meaning I can't, the way the Gemara understands it, I have to let the drunkenness pass naturally on its own. In other words, so I can't, expedite thing, but Asur Paleol Ad Shi Ur Me'elav, until you wake up on your own. But according to the second version, which was Reb Yochanan, he says, anyone who doesn't express the tefillah in a state of intoxication, so then he would hold from this idea. Okay, anybody questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did?
Can you go ahead?
I think you're right, Yosef.
Can you explain the Mai Benayhu? I don't understand the Mai Benayhu.
Yeah, all right. So again, they're both interpreting the psukim that you shouldn't
daven. You should not pray when you're drunk.
Right. One says that. The first way is kol ma'pik ma'gein b'shat gaiva sogrim chot min tsar bado. Whoever lets it pass by b'shas gaiva. So the way he understands that pasuk is it has to naturally unfold. In other words, I have to wait till the intoxication naturally passes from me before I daven. So if I take a snooze, I have to get up. And then when I wake up from the snooze,
by yourself,
then I could daven. The second way is, it says that...
don't express yourself.
Right. Don't express it when you're in a state of intoxication. So he felt that, like, after, whatever, a few hours, he was in a state of intoxication, he's okay. That's the best I have with that. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? Sal, you want to say?
Yes. In tonight's learning, B'lizeichem Nishmas, my father, B'nyamin Zev Ben Arya Leib.
Okay, the learning tonight is Lulu Neshama of Sal's father, Binyamin Zev and Aryeh Leib, Zichron Levracha. Tonight is your side, Sal.
Tonight is your side.
All right. It should be Lului Nishmato.
He died 67 years ago.
All right. You know, there's a Mincha Salazar. He discusses, it's the Munkach Rebbe. I told you this. He discusses whether a person has to keep... observe the yard site after 49 years, and he ends up saying, I heard this from Rav Schachter, he says you have to observe it, but there was an opinion like to say that after 49 years, the idea is that the neshama has gotten as high as it can ever get after 49 years. So
after 50 years, they say that the neshama has reached its apex.
Right.
But it's good for the person down here to observe the, it feels better for the person down here.
Well, it's not, you know, to make you emotionally feel better, but the idea is you want to still bring zechus to the niftar. Okay, so and the minchas lazer says that as well. You know that you have
to.
What? Say again. What? All right. So.
All right. Used to give out prescriptions, and they would fill it in the drugstore.
All right. All right. They would give out prescriptions and fill them.
If they would give out a prescription, they would fill it in the drugstore.
All right. I don't know, but all right. Let's see further in the Gemara.
The idea of being arrogant by being drunk.
Yeah.
That's an idea also, because you can't retain your Torah if you're ignorant, right? You can only retain your Torah if you're
another. Oh, excuse me, my phone's ringing. Give me one second.
Now you know how to reach him. Just give him a call.
Yeah.
Yosef.
How are you doing, Doc?
Good. It looks like you're out of the sukkah.
Yeah, the sukkah. Sukkah is down.
Good. Olivia, how we doing? Oshomea. Eno Shomea.
Right. Oh, so do I.
All right, back. Okay, let's back in the Gemara. I'm going to go further in the Gemara now. All right, you wanted to say who is it? Aaron Moshe. You wanted to say that the gaiva of being drunk is what? You were kind of freezing out then.
Talking that it's also gaiva, then you can't keep your learning. That's brought down that your learning won't be retained if you're a Baal gaiva.
Right.
So the creates a form of gaiva, apparently, of arrogance.
All right. I'm going to move on. Now, let's take a look. So the Gemara says, so we're up to Amar Rav Chiya Barashi. Amar Rav Chiya Barashi Amarav, Kol Shein Datum Yushev Ralav Al Yitpalel. If a person, he's not like at peace. In other words, in order to daven, my mind has to be, you know, in a way, able to focus on the tefillah. So if I'm all for tumult with a million things, I shouldn't daven. He says, Mishum Shinemar Batsar Al Yoreh. The Gemara quotes it, please everybody mute themselves. That means you are in motion. Let me just help you everybody. Okay, so it means that if you're in a state of, you know, agitation, you have tsuris, you shouldn't make a halakhic ruling. But the Gemara takes the same thing by tefillah. Now, with this pasuk, let's look at the Rashi on this. I think there's a Rashi here. Yeah, if you look at the Rashi, the 10th narrow line, but Tzar al Yoreh, but Dakti Yechara Mikrazeh, I looked for this pasuk, Rashi says. It's interesting. Today we have a concordance, and we have computers, and you check 1, 2, 3. So I don't know what Rashi had, but he said he looked for the pasuk. Ve'eino b'chol haktuvim. It's not anywhere in Tanakh. He says v'shema b'sefer ben sirahu. It might be in Chachmat ben Sira is what. And there's a few places in Shas. Chachmat ben Sira is an apocryphal work from the time of Bayit Sheni, and he says maybe it's in Chachmat ben Sira. There's a few places in Shas where it says, you know, Ketubat Torah b'shenui b'neviim and mushlash b'ketuvim, and it quotes a pasuk from Chachmat ben Sira. All right, let's see back on the Gemara.
Rabbi, I remember that the Arch Troll says that there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Batsara, Krati, and Nekra, or something, and it says that maybe it's a paraphrasing of that.
Batsara, Krati, Vachal Tzeka, what is it?
Something like that. Batsara, Krati, Vayanika, or something like that.
All right.
A pasuk similar to that from Tehillim.
All right. Are you driving now, Daniel, or you're home?
No, I'm home.
Okay, why can I see you? Let me see you. Open up the screen. Ed, Sal, Aaron Gershon, I want to see all of you. I don't like this blacking. I like to see everybody. Okay, good. Sal, if I could see you, Aaron Gershon, Ed, I want to see the back. You always have my back. You're back to me. All right, let's see. Or we lost them there. And Aaron Moshe, where are you walking off to during Shir? I see you walking here, there, the other place is going on. Okay. All right, Daniel, I want to see back the picture. I just lost you. I lost you. All right, let's see back on the Gemara.
Do we know where this is? This pasuk, is this such a pasuk or no pasuk?
It doesn't exist in our Tanakh, the pasuk.
Wow.
The way it's here now, the idea though of not davening we don't hold this halacha today because I don't know. This Rabbi Simon Wolf was saying like it's like an arrogance. He wanted to say it's like in the Gemara Brachot. This is like a chassan shouldn't recite Shema the night he gets married because he doesn't have kavana. But the implication being otherwise, you do have like this great amount of kavana. So it's like for us, it's like an arrogance. We don't have such great kavana normally that we say like you can't daven when you're enom yushevet alav. But let's take a look. But the idea is you do want to try to have the best kavana you can when you daven. Rabbi Chanina b'yomad ratach lo mitzalei. Rabbi Chanina, on a day that he was angry, he wouldn't daven. He says, "Amar batzar al yorektiv." He says, the pasuk says, "Batzar al yore." When you're like, agita, you shouldn't make a halachic ruling. Same thing, you shouldn't daven. And the idea is, the halachic ruling also, you need clarity of thought. He says, "Mar ukva b'yomad shuta lo havanafik lebedina." Mar ukva on yomad shuta is the day of the northerly winds, right? He says. The southerly winds, right? The south wind. I'm sorry. Yeah, on the day of the southerly winds, lo havanafik lebedina means the southerly winds would be very stormy. So I guess he'd be too far tumult. He didn't want to go to Bezdin to adjudicate a case. He says, "Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Hilchata Bayit Siluta Kiyoma de Istra." He says that halacha pronouncements require clarity of thought, like Yoma de Istra. Istra is the northerly wind. You have a nice, clear, day. That's why you like your thought. It has to be, processed for ruling. There's another Gemara that says like Shmaita by Siluta Kiyoma de Istana. Here says Hilchata Shmaita was like the halakha, the statement of similar. I guess Shmaita is a statement from the Chachamim. So Amar Abaye says I Amarli Aim Kariv. Kariv kutcha lo tanoi. So Abai says, if my mother would say to me, I want some kutcha and kutach, I told you the only thing, two things you need to know about kutach. And what are the two things? Now you can unmute yourself. What are the two things you need to, let's hear what we got for an, what are the
two we things? Had something about Shabbos, how they make
it's chalavi. It's chalavi. Kutach is chalavi.
And what's the, that's one thing. It's milchik. And what's the other thing to know?
It's
that's it. Michael's got it. Chametz, right. So those are two things. It's milchik and it's chametz. So here he says, and my mom would say, bring me some kutach. He says, lo tanai, I wouldn't have been able to learn, well. It means like for learning, I need no distractions. In other words, ideally zero distractions for learning. So I could just focus on the learning. He says, amarava ikras sankina lo tanai. If a louse would bite me, I wouldn't be able to learn like properly. He says, Marbury Dravina Abdullah Ime Shivamani the Shivayome. So Marbury Dravina, his mother made him like seven outfits for 7 days of the week. In other words, like if you have a fresh outfit, so it's unlikely that the lice will bite you. All right, that's the piece with that. Now, any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? Everybody good? All right, let's keep moving. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Lo Ivri Lelya Ela Shenata. So Rav Yehuda says the nights were only created for sleeping. Now, here, the Gemara is going to have statements. Remember, I told you there are other Gemaras, and this Rabbi Simon Wolf today, I was listening to him, he was quoting that there are other Gemaras that praise the learning at night. Now, we're going to see statements praising learning during the day, and we'll have to try to be miyashev the Gemaras, the learning during the night and learning during the day. So he says here, Amar Rav Yehuda lo ivri lelya ela shenato, that night was created for sleep. The moon, this seems to contradict one another. The moon was created, he says, just for learning. It was somehow like illuminates. I don't know. It's somehow you're able to learn by the moonlight. So Amri Levi Reb Zeira, they said to Reb Zeira, Mecharan Shmaitech, he says, oh, your learning is so sharp. So Amar Lahu Dimame Nino, that's my learning from the day. That's why it's so sharp. So Amr Le Barate to Rav Chista, the daughter of Rav Chista said to Rav Chista, Lo Baimar Menam Purtam. He says, don't you need to sleep a little bit, Dad? You've been working so much. You take a little snooze. So Amr Lo Hashta Atuyome Dariche Vektine Benenam Tuva. The days that are long and short are coming, and I'll be able to sleep a long time. So Rashi learns, let's look at Rashi. Yome Dariche, it's like midway down the narrow columns. Yamim Shehu Bekever Ariche Lishon. The days in the grave are long days to sleep. You're going to get plenty of time to rest in the kever. He says, "V'katine la sopa Torah mitzvot." And they're short. I mean, you can't be osek in Torah mitzvot. In other words, so right now, the time to do Torah mitzvot, later on, I got time, you know, for the rest. So I gotta keep hustling and working towards Torah mitzvot. He says, let me see what he says here. He says, one minute. Yeah. There'll come days that are long, he says, and too short for the purpose of Torah study. Yeah. All right. So he says here, okay, I'm Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. You know, I spoke about this in a drasha I gave on Yontiv. This was a piece of Torah that Rav Mordechai Willig said over. He's the Rosh Hashiva at YU, and he's also the Rav Vignon, the youngest of Riverdale. So he quoted from the Alkot Lecha Tov, and it was a piece by Yosef. It says that, you know, Yosef interprets the dreams for Paro. And Paro has a dream, you know, with the fat cows, the thin cows, and the fat grains and the thin grains. So 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. So Yosef says, "Atayi refaro ish navon v'chacham." Paro should get a navon, like his mavin davar mitoch davar and a chacham to gather all the wheat. So Rav Eliyahu Lupian asks, "What do you need such a chacham? Would you just get an organized person? He'll get it. What do you need such a chacham to get it? It's such a complicated mission. You just get it." So he says, he connects it to the idea that Ezu Chacham or Wedon Olad, who's the Chacham, the one who could, not that he knows the future, not that he's Yodeya the Nolad, but he's Roa the Nolad. He sees it in front of him as if it's right now. So it means like Egypt was awash in grain. It's like, it's like nothing. It's like, it's all over the place. So to have a person who realizes, I see it in front of my eyes, that nobody's got any food and what it's going to be like, and to have that under him, to gather the food. So in the same way, like Rav Eliyahu Lupian was saying and Rav Willig was saying, in this world, we're awash in mitzvot. In other words, in this world, we got mitzvot all over the place to do. You turn left, you turn right, up here, there's mitzvot all over the place. In the next world, it's a dearth of mitzvot because you can't do mitzvot anymore. So the idea is that you have to grab the opportunity when it's here. And that's what he's saying, the yame arichei uktine, the time for rest is the next world. And now is the time. I got to do...
Well, that's the Vilna Gaon said the same thing.
Right. He quotes that about...
With the Vilna Gaon when he grabbed his tzitzis.
Right.
He says, four kopika canst hold my...
Right, so he mentioned that, and it's in the Sefer also. Like Rav Aaron, like Amosha is saying that the Vilna Gaon before he died, he was crying. He said, "What are you crying?" He said, "Well, in this world, you know, for a few pennies, I can do the mitzvah tzitzis. He's in the next world, you know, I can't do it." And then, I'll give you a little shetel. They had a story. They mentioned this, and this was in the Yalkut Lakatov. I didn't mention this in the Drasha, but I mentioned it previously though. They said that there was a mashal, like a king. He was had a war, an ongoing war with a neighboring country, and he said that anybody who can help him like resolve this war, he's going to let him into the royal palace, you know, royal treasury, for 5 minutes, and to take whatever he wants, and so he'll be loaded. You know, he'll grab all the diamonds, whatever, and he'll do it.
Guess what, mashal one with the music.
Okay, just 1 minute. Okay, but let's. Okay, so okay. 1 second. Let me just. Okay, 1 second. One second. All right. Just wait for a minute. Okay. So that is the story. So one of his ministers, whatever, he was able to resolve the war with the other country, and then the king, he's getting to the point where now he's got to let him come into the royal treasury. So he had a little charata that he made this deal. Who knows how much money he's going to take, that the other. So he asked, like, his counselors, what do you recommend? So he said, well, we know he loves good music. So why don't you have like this beautiful bland, like to get the best musicians in the land, let him pay. So on the day, so the guy arrives, he's already getting all the material on credit. Everybody's really get like beautiful clothes. He's got, you know, not a wagon, but a carriage, you know, to bring him there. And you know, everybody's expecting him that he's going to be loaded shortly. So he goes in and he's looking at all of the jewelry, whatever, the diamonds, everything. And then he hears this beautiful music. And he's so entranced. And then he says, I got to get out of this. I only have a few minutes. And then they change the music again. And he hears and he gets entranced with that. And then before he knows it, he feels like an arm on his shoulder saying, time's over. And he didn't get the money. So that's the way it is in this world. You know, we have to, you know, we're all here for a very limited time, and then the time passes. So you got to use the time wisely. That's the basic idea. All right. So that's the Yami Arichei Ketineh. All right. Let me go
first. Okay. Question about this. Yami Arichei Ketineh means that in the kever you can do mitzvot, but not a lot. What mitzvah can you do in the kever?
No. You can't do any mitzvahs in the kever.
Exactly. So why is it Ketineh? Ketineh meaning what? That non-existent?
Yeah, so Yomim Shubu Kever Arichei Lishon Uketini Lasot B'Torah Mitzvos. There's a short to do with Torah Mitzvos. The only thing I could say is it's possible, one possible pshat could be that, you know, even when you're, after you died, you still get Sechar, let's say the Torah you taught, you know, when you were in your life, like Siftov Tav Dovo B'Kever. If I taught Torah and then people are reading my Torah, it's like my lips are moving in the Kever and I'm getting Sechar for that Lima Torah. So it could be, that could be one shot, that in other words, like the Ikar time for Torah Mitzvahs is here. Afterwards, like it's like, you know, like you're running like an insurance business, you have residuals. like you sold all the policies, you sit back, you get the residuals. So you get a little residuals when you're in the Kever, but the Ikar is in this world. That's one shot I could think of. Okay, let me move on. And it's nice having you, by the way, Daniel. And don't forget, this Friday we have our Parsha class at 1 o'clock, everybody. Gracious at Friday at 1 o'clock. All right. Now, let's see further than the Blee Netter. Now, let's see back in the Gemara. Let's take a look. Okay, now the Gemara says, Amar Abdach Mar Yitzchak Anan Pole Di Mame Ane Anan. We're like daytime workers, meaning like we, in our study of Torah, we're like daytime workers, and that's when we have to do our studying, the Chorah. And Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Yazif Upara. Acha Bar Yaakov, he would borrow and pay back. Meaning, if he had a set amount that he was to learn every day, let's take a look. And this is Yazif Upara. Look in the Rashi. His kvius was learned not periods of time, but learned a certain number of prakim each day. By Ragila Sok Bayom. Sometimes business would take him away and he'd make it back, he'd pay it back at night. So somebody, I think Rabbi Simon Wolf was saying, it's very applicable for daf yomi. Like daf yomi, you do a daf each day, but if you can't make the daf, so you got to make it up. That's the way it's coming with that. All right, now let me do a little piece from the Al Hadaf, and then we'll pause for questions, comments, and thoughts. So we said, Lo Ivri Sierra El Girsa, the nighttime was created for the purpose of sleeping. That's Rabbi Yehuda says that. Then Reish Lakish said, Hashem created the moon so to provide light, but which study Torah at night. So which is it? Is night for sleeping or night for studying Torah? Rabbeinu Peretz explains that Rabbi Yehuda and Reish Lakish are not in disagreement. Rabbi Yehuda said, nighttime is for sleep. Reish Lakish says, the moon was created to study Torah. And the moon is usually around at night. That's what he means. So Rabbeinu Peretz says that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shlach are not in disagreement because they're referring to different times of the year. Rabbi Yehuda says that one should sleep at night is referring to the short summer nights. In other words, you have only a few hours of sleep there. He says, whereas Rabbi Shlach recommends studying Torah night is referring to long winter nights. That's the way Rabbeinu Peretz wants to say. So the Rambam, in codifying Rabbi Shlach's position, writes, the one who wishes to acquire the crown of Torah, i.e. Torah proficiency, must spend all his nights in Torah study without wasting even one by eating or sleeping, he says, too much. In other words, like, you should be focused on Torah study at night. The Rambam clearly indicates that one must study Torah during the night year-round, even during the summertime. So we had a stira in two lines in the Gemara. So Rabbeinu Peretz says one is talking about the summer and one is talking about the winter. So during the summer, you'll sleep, and during the winter, you'll spend more time studying Torah. But the way the Rambam brings it down, year-round, you should spend time studying Torah at night. So the Prish explains that Rabbi Yehuda and Reish Lakish are addressing the primary purpose of night. So the Prish is a commentary on the tour. He says that he's saying what the main purpose of the night is. However, they're both in agreement that the night must be utilized for both Torah study and sleep. So he's saying, what is the main purpose of the night? So when the night is very short, the main purpose of the night is sleeping. You're going to be Torah studying, but the bulk of the night you'll be spending sleeping. When the night is very long, like now we're moving into long nights, so the bulk or a big piece of the night should be studying, and then a smaller piece sleeping. Reish Lakish, as explained by Rabbeinu Peretz, is saying that the major portion of the long winter nights should be used for Torah study, whereas Reb Lazer says the major portion of the short summer nights must be used for sleeping. All agree, however, that we must study some Torah during the nighttime year-round. Okay, now, Rav Achim Bar Yaakov says that when he missed his study session during the day, he compensated for it at night. Rashi explains that Rav Achim had a daily study session during which he would study a fixed amount of material, and if he was unable to complete his quota during the day, he would complete it at night. The Meiri gleans from Rav Achim's statement that it is advisable for a person to undertake a fixed daily quota of Torah study, such as two halakos of or one parak a day, and then parentheses, he says, or daf yomi. This is a daf yomi sheet, so he says, or daf yomi. So everybody should have like their kviyas each day that they have to do, and if you can't, everybody has a day you can't make daf yomi. I mean, now it's this COVID thing has really upended everything, but everybody has, you know.
You've never seen us so much.
Yeah, kind of nahara, and I've never seen so many of you so much, which is nice having everybody. Ten. So I have the 10 Talmidim here tonight. So it's nice having all of you. So during the year you have weddings, you get this, that, the other, and the Yitzhar tries to induce you to do other things and give you a mitzvah to do. This is when you go to Shir. But the thing is, even if you have to miss it, see, make it up. Now the tour in codifying this halakha writes that when it was a fixed daily study session, which he fails to complete during the day, must complete the missed material or make up the missed time immediately that very night. So the tour says, like, you had a kviyas during the day, you couldn't make it during the day, you were busy with work. So that night you should make it up. He says, the Magen Avraham explains that a fixed daily study session has the halakhic force of a neder, a vow, because the Shulchan Aruch rules that when one undertakes the performance of a good deed, with the intention of continuing the deed indefinitely, is considered as though he actually took a vow to perform the deed. The Prima Gaudium explains that each day is viewed as a separate vow. Therefore, the Torah requires that each day's learning session be completed before the end of the day. The Magen Avraham advises that one who begins a daily study session and is uncertain whether he will always be able to fulfill his commitment should declare at the onset of his commitment that he's committing himself bli neder, without a vow or pledge. All right, so we have that piece. Okay, any questions, comments, or anything you did so far?
Yes, Rabbi. They have a machloket in terms of sheina b'shabbat ta'anug or sicha b'shabbat ta'anug. And they say that a person who studies all week, he should rest. Person who doesn't get a chance to, so then he should learn. Maybe would be similar to the night also. Person who's in the bed, you know, yeshiva all day, at night he should sleep. But if some other people that work all day... Maybe they should come to Daf Yomi at night.
Well, I'm all for the Daf Yomi, but you're right. One of the notes that Kalim says in Shulchan Aruch that it says about whether a person should increase sleep on Shabbos or not. He says that Balabatim who work during the week, so they should do learning on Shabbos, and Talmidei Chachamim who learn during the week, so on Shabbos they can ease up a little bit and rest a little bit more. It's, you know, but the typical Balabas kind of thinks it the other way, I think. You know, the people, let them study Torah, that's what they do. I worked in the week, now is my time to rest. But the, and what did you ask? You said you wanted to say at night. Yeah, but at night, the tricky thing at night is the Yetzirah, like I read that, like, the Chafetz Chaim would turn off the lights in the Beis Medrash. Like, the Yetzer Hara tries to induce the person to, like, study late at night sometimes so that whatever he gains at night, he'll lose, like, twice as much the next day. In other words, if I stay up till 1 a.m., so I'm learning, but then the next morning I won't be able to get up for tefillah, I won't be with it. So there's, like, a Yetzer Hara to sometimes, you know, study too late at night. But let's see further in the Gemara.
Rabbi, right. One more comment that based on what we learned, that it would be preferable to study in the day, even Daf Yomi or otherwise, where everything is fresh in your mind. Like they say, when you learn something in the morning, it's clearer to you as opposed to night when you're.
I don't. All I can say is, like, the Rambam says that a person learns his Ikar Limit at night, because the way the Rambam takes it, like, everything comes to a rest outside at night, so you can have more clarity of thought. Like, all the hustle bustle sort of, like, decreases. But, and then I was seeing today that...
Maybe yeshiva in Israel that learns only at night?
I don't know. I'm not aware of that.
The yeshiva in Israel.
Only at night they learn.
Because they want, and it's also they want to ward off the clippers. The clippers are at night more than in the
day. All right. The All right, let me go further. All right, so I'm up to Amr Blazar. Okay, we're around 10 lines to the bottom on Samachim et Aleph. Everybody with me? Okay, so the Gemara says, Amr Blazar, Abamad Aderechai Palel Shlosha Yamim. When a person comes, like he arrives after a long journey, he shouldn't daven for 3 days because he won't have kavana. Shnemar, Ba'ek B'tseim Elanar, Habay, it should be with Ahava, Aleph Hey, Ba'nachanesham Yamim Shlosha, Ba'avina Ba'amad Gomer. So the Pasuk is in Sefer Ezra, which is in the Ketuvim. And he says, like, they got to this place, Abba, and they rested there for 3 days, and then he gave a whole shiur to the people. The point being, like it's, again, this analogy between davening and giving a shiur. Like, you need, like, all of your mental focus on it. So you have to rest for 3 days. But again, we don't do this halakha today. Avu d'shmuel ki ati b'orcha l'matzali tlati yome. The father of Shmuel, when he come from the derech, he wouldn't daven for 3 days. Shmuel wouldn't daven in a house that had beer in it. And Rashi brings down that the scent of the beer is like intoxicating, and that'll be connected to the Gemara that's coming up. He says, Rapapa lomitzali beveta didbe harsana. Rapapa would not daven in a house that had like this fried fish. It was like the scent of the fried fish he found too distracting. You know, fish is a very, you know, pungent smell. So he found that too distracting for his tefillah. But you see, tefillah is not just like noise. It's even a scent. You're not a bad scent per se, but just a, like a scent. You know, something like your senses are being pulled away. Amar Reb Chanina, kol mipate b'yeino yesh bo midat kono. Reb Chanina says, is going back to the wine, but it also relates to the scents. Whoever is like seduced with wine has midat kono. Meaning, if a person drinks a little wine and then he's like willing to like, you know, forgive people, like to look past things, past, you know, bad things people have done to him, he has like from das kono. He has like from like the attitude of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shnemar v'yarach Hashem et reich hanichoach v'gomer. This is after the Mabul. So Noach brings a korban, and this is v'yarach Hashem. Hashem like smell, it's like an anthropomorphism, obviously, at reach hanichoach, the pleasing scent. So Rashi brings down that we saw earlier, like a scent is like you smell the shechar, it's like being intoxicated. So Hashem, and then Hashem says, lo sifo lekalel et hadam et hadama bavur adam. I'm not going to curse the earth anymore because of man. In other words, and I'm not going to destroy the world again. So he's like mitpate with it. He says, Amar Rabbi Chiya kol mityashev biyeno yesh bo dad shivim zkenim. He says that whoever is like, he's like settled with his wine, he has a dot of Shivim Zakenim, the attitude of Shivim Zakenim. We'll see in a minute. He says, Yayin Nitan B'Shivim Otiot, V'so Nitan B'Shivim Otiot. The gematria of Yayin is 70, and the gematria of Sod, the simple pshat is a secret, is 70. Nichnas Yayin Yatsa Sod. So typically, when a person, you know, he drinks wine, so the secrets come out. Now, I saw a pshat today. This, I think, was in the Masifta Gemara. He said that, or this is before, he said that the Shivim Zakenim is talking about the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu appoints the members of the Sanhedrin. And then Eldad and Medad, remember, were Behema Baktuvim, either, depends how you learn the pshat, either they were among the ones who were picked, or they weren't among the ones who were picked. But Eldad and Medad, they gave the nevuah that Moshe made for Yoshua Machnis, that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die in the Midbar, and Yoshua is going to bring all of Klai Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. So it means that the ones who were chosen, the other ones were greater Nevi'im, and they must have had this nevuah as well, and they did not reveal it. So it means that, in other words, so the way this pshat would go, that if you're able to take some wine and not give out all the secrets, then you have the attitude like the Sanhedrin. Remember the Sanhedrin, they didn't release that secret about Moshe and Yoshua Machnis, just Eldad and Medad did that. All right, let me just do a few lines and I'll pause. So the first wide line downstairs, Am Reb Chanin lo nivra yayin al nachem avelim lo shleim sechar l'rishayim. Wine was created just to comfort mourners and to give the reward for rishayim, for wicked people. It means this is the reward. They get the wine, that's it. In the next world, they get punished. Shneimar to do shechar lo oved begomer. Oved here means a rasha. You give wine to the Oved, and then it says, I think, Yayin Lamare Nefesh. So the Gemara always quotes the beginning of the Pasuk, and you need the end of the Pasuk. Here you need both the beginning and the end. So you give wine Lamare Nefesh. And this Rabbi Simon Wolf was saying that the Gemara says that they originally gave the wine to the Avelim, but then they were drinking too much wine, so they got rid of it, and they said not to give wine to Avelim. Amrav Chanan Bar Papa, Kol She'ein Yayin Nishpach B'toch Beito Kamayim, Eino B'chlal Bracha. If wine is not poured in the house like water, he says he's not in the category of being blessed. So the so he quotes in the Art Scroll that if the wine is poured as plentifully as water, or, but here's the key, he quotes the Ion Yaakov, if wine is actually spilled and wasted, which in other words, in one shot is, if let's say the wine is accidentally spilled, but I don't get bent out of shape, I say it's like water, it's not so chashuv. So then that's the bracha. In other words, that I like, you know, I'm cool, I'm willing to pass it on. So he says here, if wine is not poured like water, either in, then you don't have a bracha. He says, "Shenemar." He says, "Hashem will bless your bread and your water." So the way the drash is going, just like lechem is something that can be purchased with master sheni money. It was when a person has the money, he's a farmer. So master sheni he has to bring the crops to Yerushalayim, but he can be poed to the crops, and then he'll bring the money to Yerushalayim. Then he gets Yerushalayim, he can buy it in anything he wants. So lechem, I could buy bread with it. He says, af mayim shnikach b'kesef ma'aser. Now, Rashi brings down the Gemara, we had it earlier in the Masechta, you could buy anything except min ha-mayim u'melach. I can't buy water or salt with the Maaser Sheni money. So what does it mean, water, quote-unquote? U'mayinihu yayin. In other words, it's saying that the way the drash is going, b'rach alach b'chavim mecha, he'll bless your blood and your water. It's the type of water that you can buy with Maaser Sheni money, which means not water, it's wine. He says, v'kakari le'mayim, and yet the Torah calls it mayim, turn page. He says, meaning, inishbach b'veitav kamayim ikabracha. If the water is, it's spilled in his house like water, so if the wine is spilled like water, it's a bracha. Be low, otherwise not. You know, there's a whole tumult. Let me see where I may have seen this. Was it about, you know, at Havdalah, we let the, let me see if he has it here. Yeah. So this whole question, is it correct or not correct to fill the Havdalah cup up and so the wine will spill over it and go to waste? Is that good or is that bad? You know, where I'm filling the Havdalah cup. So he quotes here, this is from the Daf Digest, he says that Rama writes that regarding the wine used for Havdalah, the custom is to pour from the cup onto the ground in accordance with the principle of Rav Chanan Bar Papa. I think it means that you'll pour it till it overflows. The Taz notes that it seems from Rama's position that the actual pouring of the wine triggers the bracha. He rejects, in other words, it means the bracha that the Gemara is saying. I'm pouring it and spilling all over the place. He rejects it as the intent of the Gemara. In fact, intends is prohibited to pour out wine and waste. So the Taz says, I shouldn't waste the wine. It's wrong to do that. He says, Rav Chanan Bar Papa does not say that one should pour wine out in order to receive blessing. He states, if wine was poured out, b'di'eved, if in my house the wine had been poured out, he will be worthy of blessing. In other words, if when wine spills, one does not look at it as the water spilled, but rather becomes angered, his home will not be worthy of blessing. It means if I don't get bent out of shape when the wine is spilled, that's the bracha. Not that I have a green light that I should, you know, fill the wine and then it goes on the plate or whatever. From this approach, the Gemara is not approved of the Rama's ruling that one should intentionally spill out some of the wine. His conclusion is that one should minimize the amount of wine that spills in order to avoid wasting wine. That's the way the Taz, as I'm saying, like do it at a minimum. Then he quotes Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his comments to argue, the Gemara also writes, the intent of the Gemara is not to pour out wine that will be wasted. The intent is that one who does not pour wine for others generously as one would pour them water will not be blessed. So he's saying, like if you're generous with the wine, you pour wine like water that people, you know, drink the water. Okay, then he says that the rabbi justifies the common practice to pour wine for Abdallah and explains that this is not considered special wine. Prima Gadim also supports the Rama's ruling, says it's a good siman. Anyway, all right, that's it. Okay, any questions?
Halacha lemaaseh, should you or should you not? Well, I mean, there's no consensus, obviously.
So I think generally speaking, I think that people do pour a little wine out for at the Havdalah cup as a Siman Bracha. That they,
yeah, but Baal Tashrit, we're not worried. It's not anything significant.
Well, that's the thing. If it depends what purpose, if it's serving a purpose. So the thing is this like serving the purpose, like of bringing a bracha or whatever? I think they say it's like kosi rivaya, like my cup overflows. It's like a siman bracha, but that's the way it seems to me.
And, okay. And the Rama brings it, not the Shulchan Aruch. In other words, it's more Ashkenazi as opposed to Sephardi.
Right. What does Sephardim do?
We do, but we might be following the Ashkenazi ruling of the Rama.
Yeah, it's always those Ashkenazim to get everybody into trouble. Yeah. All right. Anyway, that's it. Okay, that's the way I see. All right. Let me move a few more lines, then we'll pause, then we'll go on. He says, and then the second line now. So Amar Rabbi Lai b'shloshes dvarim adam nikar. This is a famous line of the Gemara. I'm sure you're all familiar with it. A person can, be sized up from three things: bekoso, his cup of wine; uvakiso, his wallet; uvakaso, his anger; va'amila af bisachako, and some say with his laughter. Now each one can be touched up differently. So bekoso, here's the way that the art school says bekoso. They say his mind remains settled when he drinks. Let's look at the Rashi on this. He says bekoso imdatum yushev la biyeno. In other words, when he drinks, that he's still settled up, but you could say bekoso, either you could say, what he says when he's drunk. In other words, it's like the Gemara says, nichnas yayin yatzah sod. When the wine enters, the sod leaves. So you could say, it reveals the true mahus to the person. In other words, like this Rabbi Simon was saying, all inhibitions are removed. Then you see who the person really is. I saw once a story they were saying about the Hasidim. They were saying, it was like criticism of the Hasidim. They were saying, how come the Hasidim drink? And we see in Tanakh drinking is bad, like you see with Noach and things like that. So, I don't know, one of the Rebbeim said that it depends on what the person is. Like, it was when the person has got, rishis in him, so the wine is bad, then it brings it out, and the bad things happen. But when a person's, on a level of tzidkus, so only the tzidkus gets exposed from the wine. So that you could say bekoso, you see who he is, he's drinking, and then you really find out what he's all about. And the next is uvakiso, his wallet. So Rashi says, are his business dealings honest? But you could say what he spends his money on, that's what I would say, bekiso, where does the money go? That'll tell you where he's at. And then he says uvakaso. So bekaso, Rashi says, sheno kapta yoter midai, he's not too strict. But you could say I guess it's related. You could say what gets him angry, and maybe also what a person says when he's angry. Then the real MS comes out from the person. So then the Gemara says va'amri laf b'sachako, with his laughter. So in the art school they quote that he doesn't laugh publicly in a way that degrades himself, or he refrains from unrestrained laughing. But you could say what he laughs at, that's what I think, sachako, what does he find funny, one second, emotion. In other words, that which some people find very funny, other people say, not funny, and vice versa. Okay, what did you say, Aramosha?
I wanted to say there's a Hasidic word that you never see the great Rosh Hashivas break out with unbridled laughter or something like that, and the great Revis, because it says, only demel says Mashiach et kimer.
Yeah, there's also Gemara that says I saw the demel lay peep schok ba'olam hazeh. A person shouldn't fill his mouth with laughter in this world. Okay, any questions, comments to us? Anything we did? Everybody good? All right. Now
need to detect someone's honesty from. Why do you detect someone's honesty through money? Why can't you do it through ma'asim?
Well, it's saying
all the ma'asim.
Well, it's
not just the financial ones.
Well, it's true. All the ma'asim will tell you the person, but the financial ones will really give you where he's at. You know what I mean? In other words, that's the biggest nisayon when you have the interest this way, the other way. How do you conduct your business? That's the real.
But this is emphasizing the financial aspect.
All right, yeah, but that's the big nisayon. Yeah, when you
because we're trained that way.
out. It's like you're selling a house, you're doing this, you're doing that. You see the business dealings, you really see.
You're doing gmilut chasadim that have nothing to do with money. You're helping old people across
right,
the
city. I'm saying.
You're shopping for them during COVID.
Yeah, those are, well, that could be the key.
I don't see any of these listed here.
All right.
Well, there are three of them, because from the three, you get a nice combination of all the midos.
Okay. All right. Listen, it's getting very late.
Let me, wine and money.
Okay. I want to just wrap up the daf. Okay. So now we're, the vacation is over. Now we're back to Erevin. Okay. So let's
come up with more questions from the vacation if you want.
Okay. All right. Let's take a look now. I'm Rav Yehuda Merav, Yisrael v'Nachri b'Pnimit v'Yisrael b'Chitzona. So now we're back with our din with Erevin. Let me get a picture book out. Okay, give me one second. All right. So everybody see the picture? So here we have an inner chatzer. In the inner chatzer, I have a goy and a Jew. In the outer chatzer, I just have a Jew. All right. So if you remember, we learned in the Mishnah the machloka between Rameir and Rablezer ben Yaakov. Right. According to Rameir, if a Jew is living with a goy, he has to do an eruv. According to Rablezer ben Yaakov, a Jew is living with a goy, he doesn't have to do an eruv. Only if there's two Jews live with a goy, then he has to do an eruv. Okay. So let's see back in the Gemara. So Amar Rav Yehuda Rav, Yisrael v'Nachri b'Pnimid, you have a Jew and a non-Jew in the inner chatzer, Yisrael b'Chitzon, and a lone Jew is in the outer chatzer. So Bamas Levei Rebbe v'Asar. So we're going to focus on the Jew in the outer chatzer. Let's say that the Jew in the inner chatzer is Reuven, the outer chatzer is Shimon. Somebody's got their mic open. Please mute yourself, whoever you are. Okay. So Can Shimon carry in his outer chatzer if he's got a goy and a Jew in the inner chatzer? So he says, "Bamas lovni Rebbe." The instigator for Rebbe, ba'asar. Rebbe says, "No, he can't carry." He says, "Lovni Rebbe Chiya ba'asar." For Rebbe Chiya also asered. So Yatuv Rabba Rav Yosef b'shalai pirkei Rav Sheshet. So Rabba and Rav Yosef were sitting at the end of the shir from Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet, remember, was blind. Not that it's so shy for this, but he was blind. He says, "V'yati Rav Sheshet v'kamar kamana amra Rav l'shmaite." So Rav Sheshet was sitting. He said, "You know, Rav quoted this halacha. Who is Rav going like?" He says, "K'Rav Meir." So Mistami was going like Rav Meir. In other words, that presumably Rav Meir holds that if one goy is sharing the chatzir with me, so here's the Jew. And there's one goy that's traipsing through my chatzer. So it's like the goy is in the chatzer. So mela, I can't carry in the chatzer. That's what we think the pshat is. So karkish rabba reshe. So rabba nodded in agreement. So reshe is speaking. Rabba and Yosef are listening. Rabba nods in agreement. So Amar of Yosef. Rav Yosef says, three grabbi rabbi rabbanan. Two such great rabbis, i.e. Rav Sheshet and Rabba, litu bahi milta, they make a mistake like this. He says, he says, if Rav wanted to teach me the halacha that a Jew who lives with a goy cannot carry because the goy is there, so he has to do schiris rishus from him. So if that's what he needed to teach me, he wouldn't teach me with one chatzer and another chatzer. I just have one chatzer with a Jew and a goy, and can the Jew carry? That would be the way he would teach the case. Maybe you say, look, this was an actual case that came before Rab. It wasn't that he was coming up with a theoretical case. It was a case that came before him. So we only have the case he got. He says, Rav. Yeah, but even if I say it's an actual case, your pshat still doesn't make sense because they asked Rav, Panimi b'makomamahu. Is the Panimi allowed, is Reuven, is he allowed to carry in his chatzer? He says, Va'amar lehen mutar. And Rav said, Reuven could carry in his chatzer, just Shimon can't carry. So if that's the case, you see that Rav does not hold like Rabbi Meir. He says, V'ela ma'ik Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. So Rav Lezer ben Yaakov says, if a Jew is living with a goy in the same chatzer, and again, the chatzer is surrounded by partitions, it's just that the goy is there, and he and the goy are sharing the same place. So according to the Tana, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, the Jew could carry. So it must be, since Rav said that this Jew here, Reuven, he could carry in this chatzer, he must hold like Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. So let's see. So Bielamaik, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, Ha'amar, Ad Shushnei Yisrim Osrim Zel Zeh. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says the goy only. So we think that he said that Shimon can't carry because the goy is there. So, but Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that a goy only asks the Jews from carrying if the two Jews eat asr on each other. In other words, let's say you have two Jews who share the same chatzer. So now they can't carry. They can't carry. Here, where I have a panimi nechitzona, there's a machlok between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim coming up in our Masechta. So the Chachamim hold that the Jew who's in the panimi, if he can carry, then this Jew who's in the chitzona can also carry. In other words, they're each in a different chatzer. So he says here, Ilamaik Reb Lezman Yaakov, Ha'amar, Ad Shushneisrim Oshrim Zelzeh. He says that the goy only asks carrying if the two Jews, in other words, if you have a goy with two Jews, so then, yeah, then the goy is going to prohibit carrying. But that's only if each of the Jew would asr on each other. Here, one Jew doesn't asr on the other one. Because this Jew in here, if the goy wasn't here, could carry. Or actually, skip it, even if the goy's there. This Jew here could carry, and this Jew also should be able to carry. So the Gemara says, Ella Rabbi Akiva. So it must be, rather, that Rav held like Rabbi Akiva. The Amar Regal Muterbim Koma, Oser Shlom Koma. So it must be that he, Rav, held like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that a goy asks two Jews, and he also holds like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, if I have a Jew here and his ingress and egress is through the outer chatzer, then he asers this Jew from carrying. So then, under those circumstances, so he says, so lamali nachri, afil Yisrael nami. So why do I need the goy here? Leave the goy out. I'll just have the Yisrael, and I'll say that this Yisrael can't carry because it's the Yisrael in the panimi. It says, Amar Rav Huna B'Rei Yeshua, Li'olam K'Rab Lezer Ben Yaakov K'Rabbi Akiva. He, Rav, held like Rav Lezer Ben Yaakov, and he holds like Rabbi Akiva. V'acham Eskin K'on She'irvu. The case is that Reuven and Shimon made an Eruv between both of them. V'tama D'Ika Nachri Da'asir. He says, and the reason that they can't carry is because of the goy. Ha'leka Nachri Lo Asir. Okay, let me just summarize, and we'll say it. So we had a case, Rav makes a statement, if there's a Jew and a goy in the inner chatzer and a Jew in the outer chatzer, that the Jew in the outer chatzer can't carry. So he said, what does Rav hold? So the Gemara ends up saying, Rav holds like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says that a goy only asks carrying if there are two Jews who asr on each other. And he also holds like Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds, if I have one person in the panimi and one in the chitzona, so the panimi is going to cause the chitzona not to be able to carry in this chatzer. So the case was, they had these three here. The two Jews got together, they made one Erev together. Now it's like sort of like one Chatzer, because they joined the Chatzerot, but then the Goy is living there. So since the Goy is there, so this Israel can't carry until he does Schiris Rishus from the Goy. That's the case. I know it was a little complicated, but that's the case. Okay, who's got questions, comments, anything that I did so far? All right, let me just, Yosef, I'm waiting for you. Go ahead. Everybody good?
Yeah.
All right, good. Okay, let me go on the next cases related to it. So now, let's do the next case in the Gemara. So, okay, we're up to Baimine. Okay, let me go back to my picture book. Okay, so now this next case is like the opposite. One Yisrael is in the inner chatzer, and the outer chatzer is the Jew and the goy. So the Gemara says, "Ba'iminei Reb Lazar me'rav Yisrael v'nachri b'chitzona." I have a Jew and a goy in the outer chatzer, Yisrael b'pnimid, and a Jew by himself in the inner chamber. Ma'u, what's the halacha? Now again, you remember that Reb Lezer ben Yaakov says that a Jew would. I'm not making any din with one Jew and one goy, because a Jew typically wouldn't live with a goy. It's like too dangerous for him. One Jew wouldn't typically take up residence with a goy in the same chatzer. So that being the case, in other words, this was instituted to discourage Jews from living with goyim. They shouldn't learn maaseihem. But where it's not shchiach, we didn't make any gzeira like this. So one Jew with one goy would never live that way. So now he says like this. So if it's a case where the Jew would not live this way, then I don't have to worry. Then there's no takana to do schiris rishos from the goy. So he says, Mahu, hatam tamo mishum d'shchiach the dyer, the mirtat nachri. In other words, in the earlier case here with the goy and the goy is afraid to harm the Jew. The Jew here was Reuven. He was living with a nachri in the first case. So here the Jew will take up residence with the goy, even though he's one Jew. Why? He says, Demir tat nachri, because he thinks the goy is like trembling, afraid. V'sabar hashta at Yisrael v'amrli Yisrael d'haba gabach hecha. In other words, I know my friend Shimon is out here. This is the only way in and out of the chatzer. Shimon's going to say, I haven't seen Reuven around in a while. What happened to him? And he can't say, well, he took a walk because this is the only way out of here. And I've been watching. He hasn't left. So the goy is afraid to do anything. So Reuven would have no compunction about living with Ignatius in the inner chatzer. Aval hacha, but here in this case, where one Jew lives here, one Jew lives here, one Jew lives here, aminale nafak azale. So the goy could say, I'll say that, you know, if let's say Shimon disappears, I'll say Shimon took a walk. I don't know where he went. You know, like Hashem Rachi Anochi, to use a pasuk from this week's Parsha to Shavua. He's not my brother, but he's like that. He says, oh, but if that's the case, then there's no gzeira to even, you know, do a schiris rishus in this case, because a Jew typically would not live with the goy there. He says, oh, Dilma hachanami miratat, or maybe even in this case, the Jew would feel comfortable living with the goy because he figured that the goy will be afraid. The sabra hashta at Yisrael v'chazili, because they'll think that any moment this Jew Reuven can come out and see that I'm harming Shimon, so I won't harm Shimon. That's it. So the question really boils down to: do we need to do schiris rishus in this case or not? Because if it's a case where a Jew would not feel comfortable living with the goy, so then there's no need for schiris rishus. So this is what Reb Lazar asked Rav. So Amar Lei, Rav said to him, Tein l'chacham yechamod. Give the chacham, he'll be even wiser. It means it's the same thing. It's more of the same. So in Echinami, you have to do schiris rishus. All right, now the next case. Reish Lakish for Tamidis Reb Chanina. Reish Lakish and the Tamid Reb Chanina, Iklau lahu pundak. They came to a certain inn. It's interesting that it's Reish Lakish and Tamid Reb Chanina. It's Reish Lakish with Tamid of a different chacham. They came to a certain pundak, like an inn for Shabbos. V'lo hava socher v'hava maskir. So they're all in the inn. They want to make an Erev together. And there was a goy who also lived in the inn, but he was not present. But the non-Jewish landlord was around. So the tenant was not there, but the non-Jewish landlord was around. So Amru, Ma'u le Megar Mine. They said, you know, should we lease from the landlord? He says, Kol heich lo matzi misalik le, lo tibay lach, lo agrina. He says, if the landlord cannot terminate the tenancy at will, so certainly we can't do schiris rishus from the landlord, because he's given away his rights to this other goy, and the goy's not here. Okay, excuse me for a minute. My phone is ringing again. Just one minute.
Michael. Michael.
Yes, sir.
Silence all phones.
Now you know how to get him. You just call him on his phone.
When we were doing his gift.
All right. Oh. 1 second. Yeah. Whenever we were doing it. Okay. Now let's see back in the Gemara. Now. Let's take a look, and don't forget everything is getting recorded. It's like chol v'chol ma'asecha b'sefer nichtavin. Okay, all right. So let's take a look back on the Gemara. So let's go back again. So they came to this pundak. So the non-Jewish tenant wasn't there, but the landlord was there. So he said, "What's the halacha? Ma'ul lemeg arminei? Can we do schiris rishus with this non-Jewish landlord?" So kol heich lo matzi misalik le lo tibay lach de lo agrina. So if the landlord can't terminate the tenancy at will, certainly we can't lease from this non-Jewish landlord. Kitibai, kitibo, hecha de masi misalik le, mai. Well, let's say the landlord under the laws that exist there, he can terminate the tenancy as he desires. So then, should we do schiris rishus from him? He says, "Kamen demati misalik agrina." Since he can, you know, get rid of this tenant at will, so we should lease from him. Odilma hashtamie halo salke. But or maybe I say right now he hasn't terminated the tenancy, so there's nothing to do with this. Now let me just stop for 1 second. I just want to check one thing. Yeah, right. So they were concerned. Remember, we learned if the goy takes a walk, he's not around. I don't have to worry about the goy. But they were concerned that the tenant was going to come back on Shabbos. So they wanted to protect themselves in case the tenant returns back on Shabbos. So to protect ourselves, can we lease from the landlord? So the Gemara says, so they were misupak on this. So if he could be misalik him, if he had the landlord had permission to terminate the tenancy, but right now he hasn't terminated the tenancy. So Amar Lahen Reish Lakish. So Reish Lakish said to this Talmidim of Rabbi Chanina, Niskor Ushen Namgiyes Rabbi Shadarim Nishal Lahen. You know, right now, why don't we lease from him? We'll protect ourselves. We'll lease it from this non-Jew, and we'll assume that the Arab is good. And since like we're an Arab, we go with kula situations. We'll do it that way. And then when we get to the Chachamim in the south, we'll ask them what the halacha is. So Atu Shalu Rabbi Afis. So they got to Rabbi Afis eventually. He says Amar Lahan Yafesitam Shtzkartem. He said he did the right thing by leasing the premises. And indeed, that's the way that works. Okay, everybody good with this so far? All right, let's go in for the kill. All right, last piece. Now, Rib Chanina bar Yosef, Rib Chia bar Abba, Rib Asi. Again, there's frequently three Chachamim, and how we have three Chachamim. Iklau lohu puntak. They came to a certain inn. The Atanachri mari de puntak b'shabta. And on Shabbos, the goy, who was like the owner of this pundak, owner of this premises, came. So now there's two Lashonos in Rashi. What does Rashi hold? Whether they had an Erev amongst themselves before Shabbos or they didn't have an Erev among themselves. But whether they did or did not have an Erev, now the goy has shown up and they didn't do Schiris Rishus with him. Either way, he's going to destroy whatever Erev they have. Because if I have a goy there, I have to schiris rishus. That's like he's an indispensable party, and they didn't do schiris rishus. So either way, they're like in gahak tzuris now. So they said. So the idea is they're going to ask, should we lease it from him on Shabbos, and then we're still in trouble because the Erev has been destroyed. If we had an Erev, maybe we didn't have an Erev. But then at that point, once we do schiris rishus, we could all be mevatel our rishus in favor of one of us, and then that person could carry, you know, from his house into the chatzir. That would be the way that would go. So he says, the atanachri mari de puntak b'shabta. So amru, so they said, ma'u l'megar minei, can we lease it from the goy on Shabbos? Socher kam arev dami. Should I say that a socher, a like leasing, is like making an eruv? Mama arev v'od yom av socher v'od yom. Do I say just like the eruv has to be placed before Shabbos, so too the schiris has to be done before Shabbos. Odilma socher kimavata reshutami. Or should I say that schiris? And again, if I'm a Jew with other Jews, so I have to do an eruv with them. If I don't do an eruv with them, I keep mivata my reshut. So the eruv I have to do before Shabbos, but the bitul reshut I could do on Shabbos. So maybe schiris is like bitul reshut. Mivata reshut vafilu b'shabbat av socher vafilu b'shabbat. So there was supak. Do we have a way out of this pickle? Can we do the enter into a schiris arrangement with the goy on Shabbos? And I was bothered with the idea of doing the schiris on Shabbos, but there's a fellow who learns the base medrash, Rabbi Avi Levinson. He's in the Kol Elyon. He's Raz Wagner's grandson. He was saying like it's like for Misama, they need it for a mitzvah, whatever. So he says here, Reb Chanina bar Yosef Amar Niskur. Reb Chanina bar Yosef said, we should enter into the schiris agreement with the goy on Shabbos. Rabbi Asi Amar lo nisko, we shouldn't do it. So Amar lehu Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abba says nismoch al divrei zakein v'niskor. We'll rely on the zakein, the leading opinion of Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, and we'll lease from him. So atu shalei Rabbi Yochanan. So they asked Rabbi Yochanan Amar lehen top line in samach vav ben aleph. Amar lehen You did right by doing the Schiris at Shabbos. So Tauba and Neradai. So Neradians were wondering about that. Umiyama Rabbi Yochanan Hachi. Did Rabbi Yochanan really say you did a good job by doing Schiris on Shabbos? He says, Vama Rabbi Yochanan, Socher Kma'arev Dami. Rabbi Yochanan says that a Socher is like a Ma'arev, a person into an Erev arrangement. My love, is it not? Mama Arev Ibon Yom. Isn't it Rabbi Yochanan said just like the Erev has to be done before Shabbos? Af socher mivodiyom, so too schiris mivodiyom. That would be like a chumra. He's saying socher is like ma'arev. So the Gemara says, lo, he wasn't teaching for a chumra. He was teaching for kulas. Lo, mama arev afilu pachot mishava pruta. Just like for to enter into an eruv, I could spend less than a shava pruta. He says af socher pachot mishava pruta. So too my schiris arrangement could be less than a shava pruta is what he meant. He says umama arev afilu schiru l'kito. Just like by Eruv, if a goy is there and the goy has a Jew, the way Rashi understands Pshat, who works for him, so they could do Bito Rishus on behalf of the goy. He says, Afilu Schiru Lekito. I didn't say right. If there's a Jew there, the Jew can join in the Eruv. The Jew could join in the Eruv, right? The Jew works for the goy. The Jew could join in the Eruv. He says, Af Socher Afilu Schiru Lekito. So too by Schirus, this would be a non-Jew now, who's his worker, could enter into lease agreement on his behalf. Umama arev chamisha shurim b'chatzer echad echama arev adei kulan. If I have two chatzer, one next to another, and in chatzer aleph I have five members of the eruv, any one of those members can be a, you know, my representative to join with the next door chatzer. Socher nami chamisha shurim b'chatzer echad echad socher adei kulan. He says that if we have five members who want to have this Eruv, and they have one goy, so one of us can go to him and enter into the schiris, arrangement on behalf of all of us. So the point is, so he said that you could do the schiris even on Shabbos. Okay, I think that's it for tonight. Any questions? What's up, Fern? Let me hear.
Are they saying that when you do commerce that's less than a shava pruta, it's not commerce?
No, that's not what they're saying. They're saying that the member that the schiris, normally again schiris is with the goy, so normally we say like less than a shava pruta has no chashivas. Remember that less than a shava pruta, the goy Jews are mochel on less than a shava pruta, but goyim are not mochel on less than a shava. We have this in the Gemara. Goyim are not goyim are not mochel on less than a shava pruta. And they are machshiv even less than a shava pruta, and so we can enter into a schiris arrangement.
But if we had all those dapim and Shabbos on Amira la'akum on Shabbos, how could we enter into commerce with them on Shabbos?
Yes, that's what I was saying before. That if it's for a mitzvah, you're allowed to do. Remember, it's like v'daber davar.
Okay.
If it's for a mitzvah, so if the Arab is like for
you
a mitzvah,
did say that. Yeah.
Okay. I have a question.
Yeah, what's up?
We refer to him as a guy. But Art Scroll uses the word idolatra.
Same thing.
Are they the same?
This is the Zel Bazach.
Are they really?
Yes. Anyway, I mean, it's the same thing, the same idea. Okay. So that's the, it's not, I mean, it's the, goy means a non-Jew, and is Obed Abodazar means an idolater, but it means in the halacha that it's the same thing. Okay. Anyway, everybody good? Okay.
Thank you.
All right, let me end the recording, and then we'll wrap it up. Okay, recording is